Have you always known that a reality greater than this should exist? Is now the time for you to step up and be the change you require in your life? What if that quiet whisper calling from the deep depths of you is the whisper of change? The whisper of what is truly possible? Would you be willing to start listening? Would you be willing to choose the true you? It's just a choice. Welcome to the What If Show, where possibility meets reality. Hi everyone, welcome to the What If Show, and this evening, or for wherever you are in the world, I'm just talking for South Africa, we have Blossom Benedict and Stephanie Richardson on this show. Hi guys!
Hi!
Awesome, I am so excited about tonight's show, you have no idea.
Me too.
Me three.
Well, there we go. There's the three. So we're talking about igniting your creative genius. And I
that
am
just makes
wondering
me
want
to do
where.
An evil laugh.
Yeah, yeah. Where do we get started on that? Okay, so what? Igniting your evil genius laugh first.
Yes.
Okay, so please tell me a little bit more. How did you guys come up with this topic, and what is it that you're co-creating with this?
Yeah, so last year, where this began is last year I actually had just sort of made the choice to be creating more regularly in my life. I know that it's so easy for the day to just sort of run away with you with things that you think you should do or supposed to do or have to do. And I was just looking at where was I actually creating the space in my life to actually be creating what I desired. So I just said, all right, there's all these stories that would like to come out of me. I'm just going to make the choice to write every single day. And what ended up showing up was really, really magical, because I realized the more space I made for that and the more questions I asked, the more stories were willing to play with me and the more creations would show up, and the more other areas of my life expanded and the more awareness I had in other areas of my life. So I ended up inviting just a group of people saying, hey guys, this is actually really amazing, this thing about creating to inspire you in other areas of your life and to ignite your life is making a huge difference in my life. Does anyone want to play? And a bunch of people ended up showing up for what we called the Creation Challenge last year. And it just rocked my world in a lot of ways. And then this year, you know, Stephanie is an artist and a painter and a photographer, and she creates in such different ways. And so we just said, hey, do you want to play with this Creation Challenge this year? Like, what do you know about creation that would actually take everything that I've been looking at to a different level? So this is actually the first time. We know that there's a conversation in here that we're really excited about sharing. This is actually the first time we're having this conversation together. So really, really curious what's going to show up.
Brilliant.
Me too.
Awesome. Okay, Stephanie, yeah, so well, you talk a little bit.
Uh-oh. Easy. It's dangerous to just unleash me without a specific question.
Now you talk.
Ready, set, go. Well, one of the things I love, like kind of following up on what Blossom was saying, is that when you create, when you actually begin to choose to create and choose to add more of what you would like to have in your life in the actual daily choices that you make, strangely enough, more and more of it begins to show up. So what I mean by that is if, you know, you are like, wow, you know what, I know that my to-do list done. I know that I focus on what I'm supposed to do, and I'm creating my life that way. But it's not creating the bigger ask that I actually desire. I actually desire this other really big thing. Even if I don't know what it is, I desire something greater that people know that draw, that like, I want to create something greater. And what happens is when we do the to-do list, or when we go ahead and conclude what's required to create that bigger ask, oftentimes we find ourselves sort of without energy because we're fulfilling tasks that we have to do. It creates this like weird obligation when what we would really desire is more creativity, more joy, more exuberant living, you know, everything to be ignited. So what I find is that when we make that choice daily, you know what, today, like Blossom said, I'm going to make room for my creativity. I'm going to make room for these creations that I've said that I wanted to create but haven't made it into, you know, I've been waiting for there to be time. Weirdly enough, when we create the time, when we create more accurately space for it, what mm-hmm. begins to happen is more and more of it shows up. So where you may have felt blocked before, where you may have felt like the creativity wasn't there because you were waiting for the time to create, when you all of a sudden make the space for the creation, guess what? All that inspiration shows up. And then you have more of that.
I love that. And, you know, it's so obvious to people with other topics. I feel like we address that a lot, like with money. You know, many listeners may have heard this percent tool as, okay, if you start putting aside money to honor you, you actually are asking for more money. And whereas if you go to pay your bills first, and that's the first thing you honor every day, you're asking for more of that. And the exact same thing happens with our time and the creation of our life. Like if you always go to your to-do list first, if you always go to your obligations, you'll always have more of that showing up. You're literally asking the universe for more of that. Whereas if you are willing to create time, this is like your 10% account of creation, to actually create time and space for you, you're inviting that. This isn't about becoming a painter or an artist, a photographer or a writer. You're actually inviting that energy of creation and sort of co-creation into your life on a regular basis.
I so love looking at it that way. That really is so nice. So creating this space as you're talking about it, is that then moving from your to-do list to creating or being the generative tool, as you mentioned in the synopsis?
Yeah, that synopsis was my fault. That's the thing is a lot of this is all about choice, and you may use your to-do list to actually move, weirdly enough, to move out of obligation. Now, how in the world do you do that when your to-do list is supposed to be all about obligation? And what if part of your to-do list, what if we actually shift that around? And we can do it a couple of ways. One, you can actually add you to your to-do list, because how many people actually do that? Hey, I'm on my to-do list. Me. Mm-hmm. Well, what specifically is on there to do? Well, nothing. Right now, that to-do list, that part of my to-do list is just me. I'm putting me on there because I deserve to be on there with all this other, you know, other stuff that I have. But the other part of that tool is actually looking at the energy of things. So you may have a to-do list, and once you've put yourself on it, instead of going to the obligations that you think are required of you, or the ones that make the most sense, or the ones that, you know, you've already decided must create the future you're asking for, what you want to do is begin to look at them from a different space and a different place. And that different space and that different place is actually beginning to ask, which of these can I do now that will begin to create this future that I'm asking for, that will begin to create more of me showing up, more of this, you know, this ignition of my creativity, ignition of being. What can I choose now of the things that I have on my to-do list, you know, that will actually begin to create more of that right away? And that's how you can begin to use your to-do list for you instead of against you. You'll actually be asking the universe, hey, is there anything on this list right now that I can do that'll add more of what I'm asking for?
I love that. And, you know, one tool that really changed that particular conversation for me was when I started looking at everything I was choosing in my life through the lens of necessity or choice. And you can do absolutely anything from either, right? You can do the dishes from necessity. Like if you have the point of view, the dishes always have to be done before you go to bed. You can do it from choice if you go, wow, I'd really like a clean kitchen right now. Absolutely everything can be done through necessity and choice. So I went through a period of time when I first started playing with that tool where everything I was about to do, I said, okay, is this necessity or choice? And sometimes I go, well, no, I actually have to reply to this email. But it was from the energy of necessity and giving myself permission to, okay, I actually don't desire to do that. This is necessity. I'm going to close the computer anyway. And then sometimes a little bit later, I'd realize, oh, wait, it's going to make my life easier if I do that. I actually am going to choose to respond to that email now. Mm-hmm. But beginning to look at everything in your life from is this necessity or choice also does allow you to go, no, I am going to choose to do these three things for me before I jump into my day, because it actually creates more for everything.
And Blossom, I love that, because then you are included. That whole conversation of how do you include you and begin to include more of you, when you look at that conversation that Blossom's talking about of necessity or choice, when you move into choice, you always include you. That's cool.
That is. I want to go one step back, because we're already on the to-do list and using that, you know, to generate for what it is that you'd like to show up in your life. But I'm finding that there are people that don't really know what they would like to have show up in their lives. And how do we then ignite the creative genius to kind of invite and, how do we, or what tools do we use if we'd like to create something that we might not know what that is?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I actually did a whole class this last weekend, and it was called How to Get Everything You Want Without Working That Hard. But the number one thing that came up for people was what you're talking about. Well, like, how do I know what I desire, right? Once I know what I desire, maybe I can pull it into my life, but how do I know what I desire? So again, this isn't necessarily about, oh, I know I want to create this book, or I know I want to create this painting. Really, the conversation we're having is about the creation energy in your life that often gets sort of ignited by choosing to create time for creation and to ask questions and to be present with that. But if you don't know what you desire to create, it actually, that can be a really fun process in itself, to begin wondering. And a couple tools I'll throw out, and then I'll let Stephanie add to this, but a couple things that I love playing with is this notion of actually shopping for reality, which means like looking around the entire world at any energy that makes you feel lighter or lights you up or makes you giggle or makes you go, wow, somebody can have that, or oh my gosh, I'd like to have that. And it doesn't matter what ignites that. You know, it might be seeing somebody's puppy dog, or it might be visiting somebody's mansion with marble staircases, or it might be you're beginning to collect energies that actually are fun for you and work for you and would create more in your life, rather than just living from sort of the limited buffet that was put out by your family or by your culture or by the way that you were raised, for what you can desire or what you can have. And then the other piece to this is really to just start asking this question that we use in Access and probably shows up on your show a lot, which is, who does this belong to? Every time you go to create something that you think you should desire, you know, is this idea mine or somebody else's? Who does this belong to? You know, I should write a book. Who does that belong to? Okay, everyone says you should have. That's actually not mine at all. What I'd really like to create in the world is, and it is a journey. You don't come to this. Most people don't show up here knowing, oh my gosh, this is what I want to create and do and be with my life. But we can get clues around the world as to, okay, so what lights me up, what ignites me, what makes me smile or giggle or tickles me. And we can sort of choose toward that
until all of a sudden you go, wow, without having defined this, I'm actually living and creating a life that's really fun and joyful for me.
I love that.
Yeah.
I'm, like, okay, I'm inspired already, Blossom.
yay! Steph, do you have anything you want to add to that question? I know we see things so different. How do you go to, how do I know what I want to create? Where do you go with that?
And weirdly enough, that has been, I mean, for most of my life, that was one of the biggest struggles I had. Was that everybody else seemed to have these like really important things that they knew that they wanted to create. And all I knew was that I had this itchy feeling like deep in my chest that I should be creating something. I wanted to be creating something and I desired to be creating something. And if you know that want is the word, you know, actually is the word lack incognito, then that's a conflict. I both lacked what I desired to create and I desired what I desired to create. So that was a real struggle. So, you know, using the tools of access, there's a lot of things that you can do to begin to sort of unravel that discomfort and actually mm-hmm. recognize those signs of discomfort or the sense of space that shows up as your sort of guidepost to find, you know, what it is exactly that ignites you. So you don't actually, I love what Blossom was saying, you don't actually have to know right now. What if part of this adventure of creativity, this adventure of creating your own life is actually the exploration phase? And what if your whole life is the exploration phase? What if you never actually come to the conclusion of, this is the one thing I'm here to do, this is the one thing I'm here to have, this is the one thing that I'm, you know, this is the one list, you know, that I, in my one bucket list, and the second that I, you know, get all of the things on my bucket list, I'm out of here. What if it's actually the exploration and that's part of what's fun? And, you know, a lot of people try to know without doing anything new. So they think that just because they exist and this is something that exists within them, that they should just know it, that it should just be in your head already, that you should have, you know, that you should have come sort of with your own how to use me manual, you know, like this is Stephanie Richardson's how to use Stephanie Richardson manual. But lo and behold, I didn't get one of those, but I did come with light and heavy installed. that is something I have that I can use. So what I find is that for me, if I think that I'll already cognitively know it, like I'll cognitively already have the information of what I desire, I may be sorely upset and spend a lot of my time frustrated that I don't already know. But as we know, that doesn't get us very far. So what I find is that that's what going out in the world is all about. So strangely enough, actually going to places you haven't been. And this doesn't have to be foreign places. This literally can be going to neighborhoods that you don't normally go to. This can be going to shops you wouldn't normally go to. This can be walking in nature in ways that you don't normally do. And you know, when you explore these different things, some of them you will find you're like, I'm so lit up and excited about this. It's like certain kinds of music when they show up where it's just like, oh, that has something in it that I enjoy. It just lights me up from the inside out. And so what you may be looking at is like, oh, what is it about this? So it may not be that thing, right? If it's a piece of music, you know, is it actually the music itself or is it the energy that actually is available? And when you go, ah, that energy, well, cool. What if I added more of that to my life? And you can just begin to ask that question, that energy of excitement or that energy of peace or that energy of joy, what would it be like if I added more of that to my life? So you don't have to know that you want to be a rock star, but you may start to find, oh, that energy of expansion and like that thriving thrum of energy. I want more of that. And then you go to a neighborhood and you see something that's like, you know, you see a house, and you're like, oh, there's something aesthetically that is so pleasing about that it makes me feel more joy. Like I feel more joy whenever I see that quality of aesthetics. What if I had more aesthetics like that in my life? What would my life be like if I had more of that energy in my life? And then when, you know, maybe you go to theater that you haven't been to, or maybe you go to a business outing that you hadn't considered before. So reading about things, we have this amazing set of resources to us available on the internet like never before. So maybe you just start reading about things that you've never read about before and see if any of that lights you up. There's a whole bunch of different business stuff that that other people would find incredibly boring, that when I read it, it actually brings me a lot of joy. I'm curious and intrigued and want to know more. So that's something that I'm like, cool, so what is it about this that's actually creating that? And what if I had more of that in my own business? How could I use that in my own business? So that kind of thing. So the shopping for your own reality, you can do that in a whole bunch of different ways, whether it's actually walking out in the world and experiencing it, or by, you know, reading about it or looking it up or asking other people questions, people who seem to have more of what you'd like to have, just asking them questions. Well, what is this? How does this show up for you? And see what actually works for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a couple of things that just popped up for me as you were talking. The one thing that I adore is actually when you see something and tapping into the energy and asking what would it be like for me to have more of that. And what came up with that is we kind of sometimes think, well, if that's the energy that I can then, you know, contribute to what it is I'd like to create, and it's all this big stuff that we want to create. But I was just looking at that energy and go, wow, so what if I use that for making a cup of coffee tomorrow morning, because that's creating too. And how else can I be that energy in every movement that I make, which is also creating?
I just actually read a quote and I noted it. I wrote it down, and it's, everything you are, everything you have, everything you own, everything you are willing to be, and everything you are willing to give the magic of you to will change everybody else's reality. So we think that it has to be these really big things that we're, you know, oh, I'm going to create world peace. I'm going to create consciousness on the planet. When what if, just like you said, if you add the magic of you to your cup of coffee, what if that was actually a big choice?
Wow. It would be a big choice, because maybe not a lot of people do that. It could be.
Yeah, I love that energy.
Awesome.
You mentioned, Stephanie, briefly the heavy and light, like that we all come with. Mm-hmm. And I know, you know, in Access we say if something is light for you, it's true for you. And if something is heavy, it's a lie. And when you mentioned that purpose word, I know that for me, that was just one of the heaviest topics that was ever introduced to me. Like that there was one grand thing I was meant to do, and I had to find it. I know that brought me years of angst and torture and, you know, upset with God and upset with myself for not hearing God and upset, just upset. And when I look back at it, if I just had the tool of, wow, you know, if it's light, it's true. If it's heavy, it's a lie. You know, how much of that idea that there's one thing we're here to be and do is just a huge, huge lie that we're trying to buy and we're trying to make real and we're trying to perpetrate on each other. And, you know, look at that opposed to everything you do has the possibility to create, right, to create more of what you desire. And I go, oh my gosh, that feels fun. Magic in my coffee, that feels fun. That feels true to me. So really just using that tool to navigate through the insanity. Like if you're stuck or confused about your creativity or what you want to do or create or be, there's a really good chance you're in someone else's reality and you've bought a lie. And we need to unravel that just a little bit so you can get back to like, oh, there's me, and that's fun, and that's interesting, and that I'd like to play with, because that's actually the energy of you.
Wow. Yeah, and that's also play. It's so interesting, and it's maybe because I'm way behind the rest of the world in this, but I was asking questions on what can I add to my life in terms of gadgets that's going to create more for me and make creating even more fun. So I
bumped into the iPhone, I think it's a 6 or something. My son has all the details. And Siri, I've never known about Siri to this level. And I saw earlier, just before the show actually went live, that there's a space where you can ask her to read you your to-do list. And I went, oh, that's cool. So when she reads it, you can go, oh, that one. And then that one you can then email or text or whatever. So I'm going, how much more fun can we have if we're willing to ask everything around us to contribute to what it is that we're creating?
Wow, I love that idea. And what that just showed me is the whole to-do list thing. What if I had never considered asking my to-do list to contribute to me in my life? I'm like, what if that was actually a possibility? So thanks.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. So what else can we have contribute? Wow. Okay. One other thing also is you mentioned that if you see other people having energy or something that you like, that you ask them. And I immediately felt a contraction in terms of, really, I can go up to people and ask them? How do we get over whatever that is, that we're not willing to ask?
One thing I would say is you don't have to be willing to ask. Meaning, I mean, Blossom, I hear Blossom's got, I'm gonna defer to Blossom in just a second because I love what she talks about on this topic. But but that's not a requirement. I mean, if for you that's something that you would like to choose, if, you know, adding other people, you know, talking to other people doesn't work for you, you don't have to, you know, it won't. And I would just ask, if I choose this, if I went up and talked to this person and I asked them some questions, what would it create in my life? And being open to the awareness of, would it actually work for you? And then if you just chose, what would actually create more for you? And then have complete allowance when you freak out and choose not to. Talking to strangers is actually one thing that's actually pretty easy. It's in part because I find oftentimes are as intimidated as pretty much everyone else. And what I found is whenever I just lower my barriers and talk to people, that they're pretty surprised that someone was actually going to talk to them. They don't act that they're that important. And so when other people don't think they're that important or don't think that they're showing up in the world or don't think that they're valuable, and all of a sudden you're asking them questions about them, it's a complete alteration of their universe. Someone is asking them who they are. Someone's asking them what's important to them. That hardly ever happens. So it's this complete anomaly. Now, every once in a while, someone went up and asked Jeff Bridges, a famous actor, if he would, we started asking him some questions and asked him if he would take our picture instead of asking to take pictures with him. And he's not very excited about that. He didn't like it. And he basically told us to go away. And it became a funny story. So, like, what if somebody wanting to talk to you or not wanting to talk to you meant absolutely nothing about you? It just was, you know, their flavor in the world, right? And what if you are willing to always choose what actually creates more lightness in your world and what creates more for you? And so people saying yes, people saying no is less relevant than actually you being in the joy, the play, and the curiosity of what might happen.
Cool. Okay. And Blossom, what could you add?
Yeah, well, the first thing is when we had mentioned, you know, if somebody has an energy you desire, you going, oh, I'll have some of that. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to talk to them at all. It can also just be that I'm actually speaking to the fact that we're so aware, and that you actually can sort of tap into somebody's universe too, and just get the energy of what they're being or what they're choosing or what they're having. And just knowing that that's available on the planet allows you the possibility of choosing it. So that's what I was looking at before. But the other thing I want to add to this is, a couple of years ago, I realized that, you know, I say that I'm asking for change in my life all the time. I want more. I want different. I want, you know, awareness. I say I'm asking for change. And yet I seem to be choosing a lot of things that were comfortable for me. So if, say, I realized, okay, speaking to this person or asking them this question would create more, and I'd still go, yeah, but I don't want to. I don't want to inconvenience them. It might be uncomfortable. And so I oftentimes wouldn't. And this is about 2 or 3 years ago when I was invited to do my first telesummit, and I just did not want to do it. Like, I didn't want to make the package, and I wasn't sure if I had anything valuable to say. And I just had all this resistance, and I almost chose to not. And instead I looked at, wow, if I have this much coming up for me, I wonder what's here. And so I made the choice that year to choose into the things that made me uncomfortable instead of away from them. And that telesummit created so much in my life and in the world. People still go, that's how I heard about Access, or that changed so much for me. So really the willingness to go, okay, so yeah, I am uncomfortable talking to people. And will it create more if I choose this? Yes, no. Who does it belong to that I can't do this, or that I, you know, shouldn't do this? Look at that. Mm-hmm. And actually choosing into the discomfort instead of away from it. You know, and a lot of us, we don't want people to say no to us. We don't want people to not value us. And often in class, I give people the task of, like, hey, go out and try to get 5 people to say no to you. Ask for things that you don't think people will give you. Everyone's always surprised that it's actually way, people are way more willing to gift than they ever imagined. It's just that we're not asking.
Mm. Wow. That actually sounds like quite a nice challenge to even extend to the listeners.
Yeah.
To go out and get a no. Awesome.
Yeah,
cool.
And just, I'll expand on that a tiny bit. If you're going to play with that, trying to get people to say no to you, if they do, your job is actually just to say, then how does it get better than that? Right? Out louder to yourself. And if you want to judge yourself, oh, I shouldn't have asked, if you want to apologize for asking, just sort of talk and pod yourself, meaning going, okay, everything that makes me want to apologize right now, I'm going to give that up. And the willingness to ask again. So the asking is the part one, but part two, the real part of this exercise, is being comfortable, like clearing whatever comes up for you when someone says no to you, so that no should be a perfectly acceptable answer in your universe, which allows you the space to ask and have it be yes or no, and then ask what else is possible. So, yeah, it's a fun little thing to play with.
That is beautiful. It truly is. So I was wondering, and Stephanie, if this is now back to the what you created in terms of the synopsis, you're mentioning about accessing your creative energy when you'd much rather take a nap, right?
Yes. Oh, this is so many times. Oh, never mind. I'll do it tomorrow. Never mind. Oh, no. I'm really, maybe TV's a better idea. maybe cookies is a better idea.
One, I think cookies always a better idea.
What if you could add cookies? No, I'm just kidding. So one of the things that I've personally found, like, this was a little bit of a trick, because one of the things that I found is oftentimes, the first thing to do is whenever you hit that wall of, like, wow, I'm tired, I don't want to do anymore, I'd rather go to bed, I'd rather take a nap, I'd rather not, you know, I'd rather do anything but this, is to first ask, who does this belong to? Is it possible that your neighbors are really ready to down 3 beers and, you know, and call it a night? Is it possible that everybody you know is exhausted, overworked, and under-inspired, right? And if that's the case, we are tend to be very, very aware of all the energies that are around us. And so when you begin to go, wait a minute, is this exhaustion and this desire to stop instead of the desire to add to my life, is this actually mine? And then expand, and when you'll either get light and heavy, and then, you know, if it's light, it means it's not yours. And it's like, oh, I am aware of everyone else's exhaustion. I am aware of everybody else's desire to quit, desire to give up, desire to give in, desire to go to bed instead of have a life that they, you know, a life that's about thriving, right? Because that's not a super popular thing to do. So when you do that, the acknowledgement alone of, oh, wow, this isn't mine, sometimes is enough to actually open the floodgates of more energy. You may find that you actually all of a sudden both relax and get more energy at the same time. If that's not the thing, if that doesn't occur, but there is lightness, so you're like, oh, that was light, it's not mine, and I still would really like to take a nap, you can ask a few more times and return all that to sender. But the other part that you can do is you can actually go, wow, and if I have access to all the energies that are actually available right now, if I was actually being the infinite being that I truly am, what energy would I have access to? Would you be able to pull energy from and through everything? So then what you can do is you can actually ask for the energy that's even in the walls, the energy that's in your computer. Maybe you don't mess with the computer. the energy that's in the walls of your house, the energy that's in the ground underneath your house, the energy that's in the sky and the clouds and the moon and the sun. Even if the sun has already gone down, like it's still there. So pull energy from that through you and allow it to go. And then sometimes when you actually then begin to create, even if you still feel a little bit like, wow, I'm still a little bit tired, sometimes that will also begin to feed you. Your creations, as you work on them, oftentimes have you noticed that when you start working on something, you actually get more energy. So sometimes we just assume that our creations will actually take energy from us, when sometimes when we begin to create, it actually feeds the amount of energy that we have available to us. And would you be willing to just explore that and see what happens for you?
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
I love that. And one thing I want to make sure that we're just distinguishing, because I think that this can get a little confusing sometimes. Creativity is not about a continuous doing. So we're not looking for how do I get the energy to like go on and on and on. I was reading the How to Become Money workbook by Gary Douglas the other day, and he actually defines creativity as the vision of your life and the work you desire to do as the essence of you, as the soul energy. So sometimes creativity can come from doing nothing at all, or turning off the computer and putting down the project and putting down the paintbrush and going on a walk. You know, and I know Stephanie mentioned that earlier, like all these different ways and spaces and possible things that you can feed your creativity from. But creativity is vision of your life and the work you desire to do as the essence of you and as of the soul energy. So just anywhere that anybody on the call or listening to this show thinks that if you do more, if you work harder, if you effort more, that you will create more, can we give up that notion and access, we say, destroy and uncreate that and return that to sender?
Yes.
Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine shorts, boys, and yawns. Cool. Yay.
So both of you, I have seen phenomenal creative geniuses, and I'm wondering, and I'd like to get both of you on this, what does a Blossom morning look like, and what does a Stephanie morning look like, you know, from waking up into creating your day?
You can go first, Blossom.
Well, you know, I have, it's an interesting question because I actually was asked by a magazine once to write out my typical day. And I was like, it was one of the most challenging things I've ever done. And I think I gave them like 76 things. And I was like, this isn't actually a compilation of all the days of my year. This is actually one random sample day. I have an advantage, I would say, in that I travel so much. So often I'm in different parts of the world. I'm working with people in different time zones. I'm in different houses. I'm in different setups. So one thing that that allows me to do is really wake up in the question. So I cannot remember the last time that I had a routine. You know, I definitely don't like wake up and say a certain thing and then do some stretches and make tea while I check my email and then dive into my day. Really, it is, okay, good morning, world. What grand and glorious adventures can I have today? Or projects. You know, I don't actually have to-do lists very often at all. And there are times when I'm working on literally 40-plus projects at once. And so I require them. I request and require and demand of them if they would like attention, they'd like to get completed, they'd like to be looked at or cared for or brought into the world, that they sort of be vocal, be loud, be willing to communicate with me. So I'd say every morning one of the first things that I do is sort of check in with my projects, like, okay, who requires or desires something of me? What do you desire? What contribution can I be to you moving forward or having a life in the world? And then more and more, I'm also trying to include body. What do you desire? What would be fun for me? What would I like to create today? Because those energies, they don't exclude each other, but they do have to work together. And so the next thing I do, it might be taking my dog for a walk. It might be diving right into emails. It might be writing a chapter before I dare open my emails because this book would really like a new chapter. And I know if I open my emails, that's not going to happen right now. So that's sort of my answer, is that it never looks the same way two moments or days in a row.
Okay,
and I'm afraid that that's a lot what my normal day looks like as well. I used to try and function from to-do lists, and what I found now is even whenever I have them, what generally happens is that is just enough to put my mind at ease that those things exist somewhere on a piece of paper, that if I need to look at it to, you know, to see what else is required, that it's a resource that I no longer have to run that to-do list program in my head. I tend to be a little bit OCD sometimes. And so that repetition was sort of distracting. So if I require to get that out of my head, then I'll make a to-do list mostly for that purpose. And then most of my day actually is a lot about asking questions and following what next. But often what will happen is I become aware of one project. And for me, what that may be is it's the only thing I can actually think of. It's the only thing that actually shows up in my head, like, oh, that. Okay. And then oftentimes that will remind me of a few other things. So what will happen, I'll start working on one project, the one that popped in, that was like, good morning. Hey, did you know that you needed to talk to this person? Yes. Okay, talk to that person. And I'll begin my day there, for instance. And as I talk to that person, you know, oftentimes what I find is that another piece of information will pop in. Another project that I'm working on will all of a sudden something says, there'll be a quote that I can use for another project that I'm working on. So I find, I was about to track about that in a second. So when that quote comes in, then I'm like, oh, I can use that for this project. So I'll take that quote, I'll put it over with this project, ask if anything else is required. It may require two more things, so I'll give that project those two more things. And oftentimes what I'll find is during those two more things, something pops up that actually feeds another project I'm working on. So then I'm like, oh, well, that feeds this project. And who else? Is there anything else that's required? Is there anybody else I can talk to? Okay, and I follow that. So what I find is the more that I'm working on, the more these things dance together, and instead of requiring more and more energy, they oftentimes will contribute to each other in really magical ways. So the call that I do weekly, where I read material with other like facilitators and stuff. We have this weekly meeting, and what I found is the stuff that I chose for the weekly meeting, then that part, a piece of that, actually showed up for the call here, right? And so what ends up happening is these things, they contribute to one another. They don't have separation between it. They're not like, I'm this project, so I don't contribute to the other project. They're like, oh, no, you know, we all together are in creation. So I find that this thing that may look like a chaotic whirlwind often feeds itself so that I'm less the direct source, and I'm more the like maestro of the energies that are actually available. And so instead of constantly using so much energy to like force things into the world, when we ask a question, that is being the maestro. You ask a question, and that's where the energy we talked about earlier, where what would you like to create your life as? When you begin your day and you check out, maybe even just start out by playing with one energy. What expansive energy can I play with today? And then you go, all right, what if my day and all my creations showed me more about that? And so that can be what actually leads your day. Instead of having a typical day, it becomes the adventure of there's this energy I'm playing with. I made a request. And then you, all of a sudden you'll start to see whatever it is that you're asking questions about will begin showing up in your life. And that can actually be the quote unquote schedule that has absolutely no times on it and absolutely no solidity to it. But it all of a sudden becomes easy to play with. And that makes, you know, everybody's taking a call and they're like, I don't even know what an energy is. Don't worry about it. You can just ask questions and then see what shows up. So you don't have to have this like grand, I keep seeing Mickey Mouse in Fantasia where he's like, you know, directing the mop buckets and the brooms and the entire, you know, and all the magic of the universe. It doesn't have to be like that. It really can be, oh, well, I do have to drop my kids off at school. But while I'm dropping my kids off at school, what if I added the magic of me? What would that create?
That's cool. I'd love for us to also talk a little bit about ideas. One thing that I heard a while ago was that the universe gives one idea to, I want to say, millions of people with the hope that one would act on it, that would be the contribution to this world. And in that sense, I've also heard that ideas that aren't being acted upon actually become ideas, which I find quite funny. So... how do we take the idea, or do you have an ideas book for what comes up, and, you know, how do you play with that?
Yeah, I definitely do write down ideas that come to me, things that I'm aware of that desire to be created. One question that Gary Douglas has added to that conversation over the years is just, you know, suggesting that you both write them down, but also then be asking them continuously, you know, when is the time, right? Who would like to be born today? Because sometimes, and I know many people, and you may have done this yourself, who have created things that were actually quite a ways in the future, and you end up trying to force something into existence that isn't ready to be born. So I have a friend who had the idea
like 7 years ago to start an Access magazine. And there was just a lot of force and efforting involved in that. The idea was beautiful. Even the execution of it was wonderful. But she was actually creating something that we all got later, oh, you're just in the future. That will come about and with ease, and people will be ready for it. But you are in the future right now. So that's one thing to play with. And then the other thing that I wanted to say about that is the more – and this is what I found started happening in the Creation Challenge, for instance, last year. The more that I was willing to, when an idea came, to actually write it down and to give it a life, you know, an idea for a story rather than going, oh, I'll write that someday, or, oh, that's interesting, or, oh, how cute, to actually go, okay, sure, I'll take 20 minutes or an hour and give that a life, the more ideas were flooding into play with me. You know, and there's this beautiful TED Talk Elizabeth Gilbert gives about creativity that I love. And in it, she's talking about, you know, who do you think songs or books or poems are more likely to come to? You know, are they going to come to just like a random person who ignores them? Or, you know, is a song more likely to come now to Leonard Bernstein or Leonard Cohen or Bono, who will actually take time to give it a life in the world? So the more that you're willing to interact with those ideas and that creative process, for me, I found the more that process is excited to show up for you and be like, hey, how about this one? You know, my husband does a lot of business, and he has business ideas that come to play with him all the time, because they know if they're good enough and they present themselves in the right way, they actually have a shot being actualized in the world through him.
That's such a cute way of putting it. If they do it in the right way, but it's awesome. Cool. So good.
Yeah.
Is that something we can ask for as well? In
Absolutely.
How things show up?
Uh-huh. Absolutely. You can definitely be asking for more, and I call them entities, but you can call them whatever, like more ideas to come play with you, stories. Just invite them, and then your job is to not judge them when they show up. You know, so if you invite a friend to come play with you, and then you tell them, like, oh, they don't have really good ideas, and you don't like their outfit, and their outfit and their voice sounds funny, you know, like your friend's not going to come over so often. So I really think of it like that too. Okay, so an idea shows up, a business shows up, a story shows up. What if your first job, at least in the beginning, was not to judge it, not to figure out if it was stupid or what was wrong with it or if anyone would buy it, but actually to play your part in bringing it into the world or asking it questions or collaborating with it in some way. And we think we're judging ourselves, oh, that's a stupid idea, or I'd never be able to do that. But we're actually judging the idea as well, the entity, the life force, that would have been happy perhaps to play with you if that wasn't your first response.
Great. Okay, so we're kind of getting towards the end of the show. And I am so loving everything that you have said. You know how many tools and ideas you've actually discussed in the show is phenomenal. So what I would like for each of you to maybe go in and say, what else would you like to tell the listeners about igniting your creative genius? And also give a little bit more about how people can connect with you, what it is that you are busy with at the moment that people can join and play with as well.
You want to start with that one, Steph?
I'm like, wait, what? What are we doing? All the ideas, what do we do with them? Where do they want to play? Yes.
Yes.
There are so many things. One of the things we're about to embark on, this for a lot of people, mm-hmm. if they're listening to the replay, will already either be starting or we'll be, you know, working our way through it, or maybe, you know, years in the future, they'll listen back on this. We're going to begin embarking on a 30-day creation challenge beginning tomorrow. And so that's one of the things that we'll be playing with. So the two of us together will be creating that. And that I would ask people, whether they choose to do that with us or whether they're looking to create more of the, you know, to ignite more of the creative energy in their own lives, that they just ask, you know, what would actually create more of that? Would playing with these people create more of that in my life? Would playing with me, would making, you know, making the demand of myself for me to choose more of that for the next 2 days, for the next 3 days, for the next month, right? The next week, because they can manage it just by asking the question, like, what would ignite the thriving creative energy that I would truly like to have in my life? What would create more of that? And then follow that, like, do whatever it is that actually creates more of that, just using more of the tools that we actually already talked about on the show. And then I know that I have a weekly radio show that I do at the moment. We just moved to A to Zen FM, and that's a fun time. It's actually Heather Smith and I, and we laugh a lot. It's called The Good Girl's Guide to Being Wrong and Happy. So you can always find out more about what I'm up to with that. And then Blossom has a ton of stuff coming up that I'm really excited to play with. I'd love to hear her tell more about it.
Yeah, well, the one thing I wanted to add just about this creation challenge, because it is about to start and it's so on this topic, is just that, you know, as Stephanie said, you absolutely can do it on your own. And I highly suggest, you know, wherever you are, to just start creating a little bit more time for you, like to put yourself back on your to-do list. And the reason that we created this challenge as a program was sometimes, you know, this like where two or more are gathered energy just really allows other people's ideas to fuel you, other people's processes to fuel you. So if you are interested, the way that that works, we have a Facebook group. So everybody's posting their creations daily, asking questions, contributing to each other. We have a video for you every day with a tool. We have a call every week. To clear whatever's coming up and to look at new ideas. Stephanie's doing studio time where you can just create alongside her, watch her paint or create and ask what questions come up. We'll be giving you a tool every day. So we really just gone, what other excuses can we take away to allow you to gift you the space to really see where your creativity can take you in that month? So if you want to find out more about that, you can go to blossombenedict.com/creation and find out that there. And again, I have no idea when you'll be listening to this replay. So the best way to connect with me is just at blossombenedict.com. Or on Facebook, I put up daily quotes and inspiration and things to play with. And once you're on my list at my website, I do Google Hangouts on different topics and stuff. So the two of us never really stop creating. So if you find either of us, you can just sort of go, oh, would this be fun? Would that be fun? And really, you know, what contribution can we be to you having more of whatever it is you desire in your life?
Mm. That's phenomenal. I'll make sure that I get all the links out, you know, in the replay link as well. It will go out quite early. So still in time. How cool is that?
Love that. Thank you so much.
Yeah. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you. And wherever else you're standing in your way, this is my last plug. You know, if you're like, oh, I have to do it perfect. I don't have time. I don't have money. I don't have, you know, just I would be asking the universe, hey, what would it take? Show me how this can be easy. What else is possible here? Not to join our challenge specifically, but actually to create time and space for you. Because when you do ask, you will receive. The universe will rearrange things for that to happen.
Thank you, Blossom. Thank you. Stephanie, from you, last words.
Just
for the show.
Well, you know, one of the things I played with earlier today is what gratitude can I have for me? What gratitude can I have for the creations that are showing up? What gratitude and ease can I have where I've had none? And a lot of times what happens is when we begin to relax into that, all of a sudden it's much, much easier to hear the whispers of creation that have actually always been knocking at your door.
That's so yummy. Okay. All right, so I know that I don't even need cookies or anything else to carry on for the rest of my evening creating. I am so grateful for both of you being on the show and for contributing to, you know, me and everybody else. You know, what you guys are creating in the world is such an inspiration, and thank you. I really am so grateful.
Oh, me too. Thank you so much, Arlinda.
Thank you so much for having us here.
It's a pleasure, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Say bye, everyone.
Bye.
Good night. Bye.